Friday out there, ladies and germs. It's the 26th of June, 2020. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live. I had a music gig today that was going to supersede today's show. I was going to jam with some friends, a trio at a winery, so bucolic, so tranquil, but it got rained out. They only wanted us to play outside because inside would be, wait for it, a coronavirus risk. Even though this winery, the wonderful DeBlanc Winery, Baroda, has rarely ever had a situation where they have a lot of people crammed in there at once, it's almost always social distancing distance. And so just another wrinkle in the fabric of life from the mythical coronavirus. Very strange. Well, to help me sort this out on what we're calling Scotty, Beam Me Up, Where Are You Today, is a return guest, Hesher from Alternate Current Radio. How you doing today, Hesh?
I'm hanging in there, Mark. I guess it's worth repeating for the audience. We were just talking about exactly that. How are we doing? And my first thought was, well, gosh, I do okay on the days where I wake up and I don't look at my media feeds first thing in the morning. But the problem is, that's my job. It's literally my job to intake as much media as I can and try to help filter that for my audience and other shows like your audience. So I'm really feeling the pressure and the effects. Even though I'm a hardened media maniac, I'm really getting to the point with the daily events where I almost have to wake up and not look at my phone, not look at my computer for at least an hour or two if I want to have a somewhat decent day inside my headspace. So that's the origin of the Scotty, please beam us up, get me off this planet, take me somewhere like Mars where I can wake up in the morning and not have this insane feedback loop of just total chaos in my media feed.
I hear you loud and clear. I tell you, I sympathize, empathize, everything. We're both news junkies, and being a news junkie is not always easy. But, you know, when people say that old joke, I don't get paid to think. I'm not going to tell you what I think. And I try and crack that joke, and I go, wait a minute, I kind of do get paid to think.
Yeah.
And so we who are paid to think in one way or another, to one degree or another, have to be more of a news junkie than we care to be, because that's our bread and butter. And so, yes, you are ultimately stepping in more muck than you might otherwise step in, because it's your job to step in the muck, take the bullet sometimes, as it were, metaphorically, hopefully not for real. At any rate, the upside is always that we know that the mass media cartel is on the defensive. They don't like being on the defensive. They've been on the offensive a long, long, long time, ever since they were born in the bowels of NBC and David Sarnoff and CBS and whatnot. And these people from military intelligence that were involved in founding television programming, the big news networks, William S. Paley of CBS, Sarnoff of NBC, formerly RCA, General Electric connections there. And so they develop television. It's their main weapon to keep people not only docile when they need them docile, but to get them revved up when they need them revved up. And, of course, that comes through misinformation. Key with is that it was the way, and no doubt they wrung their hands with glee when they did this, it was the way to get everybody to think the same thing at the same time in large numbers. A newspaper can't quite do that. It's kind of segmented. Radio can't quite do that. It's kind of segmented. You know, it has markets. And yes, TV has markets, you know, your local affiliates of the big networks. But the big overriding networks, their broadcast can be heard simultaneously by the entire United States population. So if they say there's more cases and deaths of coronavirus, everybody knows that at the same time. It's not just what they know, it's when they know it and right. To what degree. Yeah. That's the that's the masterstroke of television, which military tacticians and people that study military history, people that study military strategies, have said that television is perhaps the greatest weapon of warfare ever known, and perhaps that will ever be known.
Yeah, and I would add to that, Mark, that somewhere around 2008, 2009, a new layer got put on top of that. You know, the television put us in a mode as a nation where we had sort of a collective context, a collective reality, and we had no idea, at least most of the country had no idea, how much propaganda we were being fed, even back when it was more gentle and there were more than five or six companies that ran it all. But in 2008-09, whenever this started to begin, we have DARPA and CIA funded technologies like Facebook and Google that got added on top of the television. So the television served as sort of a stick and rudder for the propaganda. But then when social media arrived and got perfected, we were immediately in a Pavlovian feedback loop of outrage and emotion. So it really changed things. I really don't put a whole lot of separation between television programming and social media and the internet anymore. I feel like they've sort of merged into one globo technocratic sort of control grid that is highly moving on cybernetic feedback loops.
Certainly, yeah. And then another element you could throw in that toy box or Pandora's box would be when TV went digital. And I remember working at American Free Press at the time, and I was in the newsroom, and we were all talking about it, and I made a couple of phone calls. I had already had an experience at WSBT-TV, the South Bend, Indiana CBS affiliate, before they moved their station from one location to another. And I had met with a Mr. Mann, M-A-N-N, who was the station manager. And the conversation ended up not very congenial, that's all I'll say, because he not only said that the switch to digital TV was a good thing, and, you know, there's all these parts of the bandwidth, right? The airwaves, 22.1, 22.2. The airwaves cut into these segments, you know, 0.3, 0.4, 0.5. But the news media, at least at the time, was allowed to put away those frequency bands under lock and key and sequester them. And if I understood him right, either presently or in the future would be able to trade them, but keep regular people off the airwaves, keep dissident voices out of that altogether. They're not allowed. We are to stay, Hesher, in the digital gulag.
Yeah.
The backwaters of this, where they can just label, deplatform, demonetize, reject Facebook boosts. Like, you know, I've had Facebook boosts as innocuous as we need to do groundwater, you know, because groundwater is kind of different than surface water. For real environmental reasons, not pseudo-environmental reasons. Oh, that's too controversial. They rejected boosting that, you know, paying $5 to boost it or whatever on Facebook. And so you don't even have to be getting into heavy conspiracy theory or trying to influence an election, God forbid. Oh, the mainstream media would never an election. Yeah. Only the plebeians and lumpen proletariat can influence an election, and they're not supposed to be allowed to do that. And so, you know, the whole thing is designed to where the mass media cartel can not just through the limited ownership, five or six families, but to lock away and keep under lock and key all these frequencies that came with digital TV, leaving behind analog. Then you add on the social media, and what do you have?
You have a massive
control system tool of information.
Yeah, exactly, man. And to add insult to injury there, you know, you take that concept that you talked about with the cable bandwidths and the terrestrial bandwidths and all that that we've been locked out of. Then to make things even worse, YouTube comes along and they crowdsource this platform that now receives billions of hours and gigabytes of data from normal people all over the planet every day, every minute, every hour. They built that on us. They gave us that for the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, whatever. And we, the people of planet Earth, built that. We were the ones that made the audience. We, normal people, were the ones that brought people to that platform and made it the multi-gazillion dollar hydra that it is now. And what do they do in return after we brought all of our intellect and interests and artistic interpretations and our news analysis, everything, anything, underwater basket weaving, I don't care. We built that platform for them. And now they're shutting us all out. They're saying, thanks, guys. Thanks for building this wonderful media platform that we can now get billions and billions of dollars from Fortune 100 advertisers on. And we can treat you guys like it's cable TV. Now you got to sign up for it. You don't want to see the mainstream commercials. And oh, by the way, if you say something mean or if you talk about something controversial, you cannot use this platform anymore, or you can only use it, you know, as a nobody who can't monetize it. Whereas everybody else who's doing, you know, van life or, you know, whatever, like socially acceptable in the new world order lifestyle sort of stuff, yeah, they can be monetized. That's fine. They can hang out. But the rest of you people that built this and brought so much interest and attention to our platform, you're out of here.
Yeah, this is so relevant to COVID-19. I don't want to obsess with that issue, except maybe mention it sort of in one context. And so then comes along this bizarre, mythological-looking phenomenon called COVID-19. And a lot of us have things to say about it that are very constitutional, very citizen-oriented, very responsible, you know, very justified in our concerns. And they're especially stringent at controlling that particular issue, which, of course, is even more evidence that it's largely, if not completely, one big wad of BS. And because otherwise, why would they be so sensitive to mere opinions of the lumpen proletariat that helped build YouTube, as you said? And so, you know, the thing is, in America, you have, and, you know, they say, well, there's, you know, you're going to be fake news, you Heschers and Mark Andersons of the world, so we're not going to run much of your stuff. We're certainly not going to boost it. We won't take your money for that. Well, you know, but we're not going to boost it. But, and we don't want you influencing elections. But as I alluded to a minute ago, the mass media cartel is all about every second of every day trying to influence the election, mainly against President Trump, largely. And they're all about not checking their facts, of having presupposition on top of presupposition, and, you know, premises that really hold no water, let alone the story itself. And, you know, they can be wrong all the time, but the thing is, in America, you have the right to be wrong. You have the right to just get your opinion out there freewheeling, both guns a-blazing, and let the chips fall where they may. Not everybody in the alternative media, not every dissident voice is right, but they have a right to say what they need to say and let the chips fall where they may.
Absolutely, man. I mean, that has been the beauty of America. And I want the freedom to hate. I don't want to hate anyone. I don't feel like I truly hate anyone, but I need the freedom to have that emotion. And so should you, and so should everybody listening. When a government or an insurgent force tries to tell us in this country, where we live in a constitutional republic, that we can't say things, we can't feel things, we can't, you know what I mean? I mean, the laws are very clear in this country about our freedom of speech. And this is just, it's gotten so egregious, you know? And it's not like I'm like, oh, I just woke up during COVID and said, oh no, our freedoms are being eroded. No. We have been out here waving our hands like Chicken Little for years and years and years, warning people, this is coming, this is coming, the sky is going to fall. And now that it has happened, Where is everybody? Where is everybody that should be standing up to this? Are they home, afraid of getting a flu, afraid of dying from an illness? So afraid that we'll just sit by and watch this country turn into something else, watch it be balkanized, watch it be crapped upon by globalists and people and Marxists and Maoists. Let's just say it. I mean, one of the BLM leaders from New York came out this week and said, if our demands are not met, we're going to burn this system down. I mean, that's a terror threat, is it not? I mean, have I lost the script somewhere? And one of the founders of it came out the other day and said that they were highly trained Marxists and, you know, their aim is communism. So,
yes,
where is everybody? Is everybody hiding behind their mask at home, hoping they don't get sick? Like, you know, and then there's the fact of, like, what happens to the people that do get up and go out? I'm seeing that happen, and I'm seeing all those people being demonized by the media. I'm seeing media traps, media setups, good patriots being zip-tied and brutalized by cops for standing on the steps at the Sacramento State Capitol for having committed no crime. And that's, you know, that's done. But then the media and the Fortune 100, they encourage people to go out and riot and break stuff and pull down statues and destroy history, whether it's distasteful or not to the snowflake out there. It's just madness, man. I'm getting really frustrated over here.
Yeah, the street thugs, the protesters, which of course is most of them are not simply protesters, and those that are peacefully protesting and have always done that, of course, have a right to do that. God-given thing. But a large majority of them are influenced by or members of, in some way, shape, or form, including leaders of BLM and Antifa. And as I think we'll talk about later in today's show, we're coming up on the break in about 1 minute. You can outline for us, Hesh, what you've learned to whatever degree you want about the fact that this is really an international army of the elite, and it follows the pincer strategy, pressure from above to engage or to promulgate the Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, you know, create the problem, already have the solution waiting, and the synthesis is where you consummate what was your original goal to begin with. And if they're making those kind of violent declarations, I just don't see what's keeping President Trump in declaring officially, as Bob Barr warned, declaring officially that Antifa is a terrorist organization. I wouldn't say that lightly. I wouldn't even agree with that lightly. But I think we've come to the point where the president would be justified in doing it. And actually, I'm basically saying, what are you waiting for? Because when you hear, ladies and gentlemen, what Antifa is really about, you realize that this isn't just disgruntled college kids and 20-somethings and millennials that are just venting their frustration. It's much more. We'll be right back with Hesh of Alternate Current Radio right after this.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Turning to Stop the Presses for the short segment before the bottom of the hour. Your host, Mark Anderson, on the 26th of June, 2020. My guest is Hesher of AlternateCurrentRadio.com. He does a great show, The Boiler Room, and helps with Sunday Wire with Patrick Henningsen of 21stCenturyWire.com on Sundays. We're in that short segment, Hesh, but nevertheless, you would learn some stuff, and this might not be, you know, an unknown thing, but maybe it's not as widely known as it should be, that's often the case, about the roots of Antifa and just how massive this is. Go ahead and share that if this is a good time for that.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, we've been over here in Alternate Current Radio and in the Boiler Room, we've been interested in these groups. We've always been interested in any groups that were potently politically active or, you know, appeared to have corporate sponsorship and anything like that. Anytime there's a disruption in the country, we've been interested in that, you know, going all the way back to, gosh, I don't know, that thing that happened at that school that sounds kind of like it starts, you know, maybe with a sandy beach, all the way through, you know, and we've looked backwards in time, you know, OKC, 911, all these things. All the groups that pop up and have influence on people during these things, that's something we've always been very interested in and always very critical of. You know, our analysis has always been very skeptical and critical. Same goes for, you know, all the groups that popped up around the time that Trump-Hillary became the big deal in 2015. So many crazy events. And, you know, Antifa and BLM, you know, BLM, of course, going back to like Ferguson, I think was, you know, when it became a name that everybody knew, a household name. And it often seemed like we knew BLM was getting a ton of monetary support from Fortune 100 and politics and things like that. But Antifa was never really too sure about. There was always the whisperings of, you know, Soros money being behind it, Open Society funneling money and resources and, you know, buses and hotel tickets and, you know, pocket cash and that kind of stuff to these people. And, you know, that's all out there and stuff that we've been talking about for years. But and I generally speaking, on the boiler room, I don't go into like insider information. You know, I don't want to sound like the other guy down here in Austin who's, you know, always got the documents, folks, and, you know, always talking about his insiders and stuff like that. But on this occasion, I will say something. I was passed a list of names from a European country about Antifa. And it was a list of known Antifa ranking members in Germany. And it was like 700 pages long, man. It was insane. It was just this enormous list of names, and it had the countries of origin next to all these people. And, you know, I can't verify it. You know, it's something that a listener sent me. It's a listener that I trust. So, you know, I think it's very, and, you know, I know what his swim lane is as far as work. So I think it's probably legit. I can't say it is 100%, but to know that a country like Germany could have that many people there and it's that organized and the countries of origins are like all over the place really makes me have to rethink, you know, is Antifa actually a bunch of angry Marxist college kids who have been weaponized by the media and social media? I don't think it's that anymore. I think that there's a good chance that what we're seeing is actually a very organized and trained and concerted effort of color revolution. This is a color revolution force, folks. And yeah, there's a lot of dumb college kids out there and do-nothings and me, gimme's out there that, you know, join this thing as useful idiots. But I think there's something far more sinister going on, and that this force of people is much, much bigger internationally than we may have originally figured.
Would you say there was 100 names per page at 700 pages? Would that be fair?
It might have been a little bit less. I'd say somewhere between 50 and 75 maybe on each page.
Okay, so then, yeah, you're looking at right there about 40,000 people, let's just say, roughly.
Yeah, and it's not just kids. It's not just people in their 20s, you know. There's lawyers, there's politicians, there's doctors, there's dentists, you know. It's I can't confirm all this. I'm not trying to, like, you know, whip up the audience or anything like that. But we're seeing parts of our country being taken over by these people, and politicians and police chiefs allowing it, encouraging it, even calling it a summer of love inside of what they've called the CHOP, when we're seeing rape and murder, dead bodies, assault, all these things happening inside that zone.
Yeah, and riots and arson and bricks strategically delivered. You know, you need forklifts and trucks to transport those bricks. Slats of bricks are not cheap. Moving them, let alone getting them. So, yeah, very suspicious. We'll get into more of their strategy and some announcements from me and more news from Hesh right after this. Some callers, too. Stay tuned.
Talk, the simple smile, such platonic eye. How they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443. At 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
And welcome back to the show. I'm Lawrence Welk. No, just kidding. Your host, Mark Anderson, here on Stop the Presses, 26 June 2020. Quick announcement, go to mixandstream.com, M-I-X, the letter N, stream.com, mixandstream.com. The Question Everything 2020 conference coming up November 7th and 8th at a hotel right by Bergstrom Airport in Austin, Texas. You can check it out online and watch us virtually, and we would have done that anyway without COVID. Don't label us there. Or you can come in person. So go to mixandstream.com. A big battery of speakers ranging from me and Ron Avery to a number of others. And check it out, mixandstream.com, Question Everything 2020 Conference, November 7th and 8th in Austin. Also, as I've noted from time to time, I've got a new shipment of the hardcover book, Alice and the Money Tree, with rhyme and verse and Alice in Wonderland style illustrations. It explains the tricks and bind and, the propaganda and the techniques of the money masters, the tricksters in the monetary system. Alice and the Money Tree, great for homeschoolers. One book for 10, two for 15, no shipping. You can order from me directly, truthhound2 at yahoo.com. That's my email, truthhound, the number 2 at yahoo.com. Or you can get a hold of me through the station to get your copies of Alice and the Money Tree. Three or more copies, I give an even better deal. Just got a new shipment in. Okay, housekeeping out of the way. Hesh, what you're describing, and we'll get to a couple callers in just a moment, what you described there with that list that appears to be authentic in most or all respects, goes hand in hand with what I've said in terms of this appears to be, as you say, much more than disgruntled millennials and college students and wannabes and could-bes and all that. It appears to be a loose-knit international army of ideologues, mainly Marxist and their slant, and it provides the old communist strategy, Marxist strategy, of pressure from above, pressure from below, the pincer strategy that is classic Marxist revolutionary style, where the street radicals who are actually in the know, at least their leaders, are financed to go create the mayhem, and the elites that are financing them are awaiting in the wings with the solution. And if anything, the ruling establishment, the powers that be, although COVID-19 is a bit of a knuckleball, a bit of a curveball, at least some aspects of it, if anything, they're largely predictable, and they rely on tried and true techniques. We've talked about that with the globalese language, you and I, Hesher, with the way they speak and the way they write and the misdirection and the conflation, the way they associate things that are not in reality even associated, and they disassociate things that in reality are associated. And so they create this kind of intellectual minefield where you don't know what's true and false anymore, and the TV helps propagate that. But it all follows this quasi-Marxist playbook. And I think Antifa is larger than we are told, but yet it seems to follow, in my opinion at least, the playbook. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm at this point, I feel like the last, I don't know, 50 years in this country between our media and our public school indoctrination systems and our college systems, we have been running on that sort of Marxist mindset. My concern is that now people seem to think that it's still just Marxism. Like, we have a lot of conservatives that look at Antifa and what's going on with the DNC and corporations, and they think, well, this is communism, and conservatism is what we need to fight it. And, you know, on the other hand, the people on the other side, they look at conservatives and they say, well, you're all racists and horrible people, and you don't even belong in this country. You need to shut up, and you guys are fascists, when in reality that whole dual-sided coin of fascism versus communism is a dialectic that's been set forth in front of us that seems to make a lot of sense to consumers of mass media cartel information and even some alternative media information. But I think that the playbook has gone from Karl Marx to Chairman Mao. We're looking at a little red book situation now, and it is, I don't know that we can vote our way out of this. You know what I mean? I don't know that we can go red team versus blue team and fix any of this, no matter who you are, what your political identity is, because this is being pushed on the planet, the entire planet, something we've never seen before, because it's never been possible before, at least in our known history. We don't want to get too esoteric here and go back to Atlantis or anything like that. So this is way, way, way worse than just a country that has had 50 years of Marxism imposed on it and indoctrinated into our kids. We do have that, but it is rapidly being radicalized into a Maoist sort of Stalinist sort of mindset, and that's a piece of history that's very dangerous, right?
Yeah, I don't mean to interject, but Bolshevism seems to fit pretty well.
Yeah, very much.
I'm taking a stab there. I mean, there was Marxist elements in Bolshevism, but Bolshevism was kind of a unique thing in many of its tactics, although it followed the communist playbook to a point. So that might explain why I see some elements of the communist playbook. And yet, as you say, there's some things that are different about it. It's kind of got a Maoist Bolshevist kind of backing. And the Bolsheviks, of course, were ultimately backed by big money, by Jacob Schiff, a Jewish congressman, or not a congressman, but a Jewish mountebank, a very wealthy individual, one of the wealthiest individuals at that time, along with Bernard Baruch, in early 20th century America. Basically, he was credited even by fellow Jews, with being the father of the Bolshevik Revolution, Jacob Schiff, a wealthy financier and mountebank from America. So, you know, the big money and the radical street thugs have a definite connection going all the way back to the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yeah, kind of sounds similar to the, if you look at the way that Open Society has participated in this, well, gosh, you know, there's a, like a bit of a Soros analog there, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. It's a thing that repeats itself, and we're just talking facts, you know. It's not a diatribe against any tribe or against any segment of society. We just have to call the facts as they are. And that's what we do, and let the chips fall where they may. Let's get to the callers in the order they're received. Kelly from Georgia, I hope you hung on. We get to talking, and it's sometimes hard to get us to stop.
Well, you have a lot of good things to say, so I don't mind listening. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Go right ahead.
Okay. I just I feel you. I can hear it in those voices. This week has been exceptionally hard for some reason, and I posted the video of the BLM co-founder saying that they are trained Marxists, and I specifically found one that had commentary on it from a black independent journalist, rapper type guy who's popular on YouTube, and I posted it on my Facebook page, and people just came out of the woodwork just saying the ugliest things. And nowhere in my post did I say all lives matter, you know, some of their trigger phases, nothing like that. I just said it's important to know where your money is going when you donate to organizations. And the guy even distinguished between the Black Lives Matter movement. He said there's a lot of people who just go out there and say, yeah, Black Lives Matter, that's one thing. But then there's the organization that is, you know, they're on camera here saying that they're trained Marxists. And it was just very depressing just to see people just the way they just want to attack and not even paying attention. And most of them wouldn't even watch the video. That's the, I'm like, if you can't even watch it, why are you going to even try to talk about it, you know? And it's just so aggravating the way people are being hoodwinked out there and they're being played, and good people with good intentions. And it's really sad to see it happen. And like you just said, I don't know that we can vote our way out of this. And it gets to where it feels kind of hopeless at times.
Yeah, and the media pumps up and amplifies that sense of hopelessness, and is part of the reason that people like that are purely reactive. You know, there's an old saying that action without knowledge is fanaticism, and knowledge without action is paralysis. And that really fits here. These people are engaging in action without knowledge. So they just fling and, you know, anywhere and everywhere they direct their anger, and it's purely anger because they're not even bothering to watch the video. They don't gather any information before they comment. So you're arguing with a sick
right.
mind.
Or they'll Google it and you know, and then someone else mentioned, well, they're okay with the IRS, and they just keep bringing up all these other organizations that are total separate issues on their own. And I finally just gave up. I'm like, if Google and the IRS are what make everything okay with y'all, then there's no point in going any further. But it did bring some people to my attention who are good people that I didn't realize before, that like, okay, I need to cultivate these friendships, and they're fellow liberty-minded people like me. And so I guess it wasn't all bad, but it just, and I feel like there's a lot of us, but people are just afraid to say anything because no matter what you say, you're labeled a racist. And now I found out that just because I'm white, I'm racist. And, you know, it's just ridiculous. I mean, that's why so many people just, I feel helpless and hopeless. And like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, I totally agree, Kelly. You know, I can't help but feel like everybody is backed into the worst corners right now. I mean, mm-hmm. the most unintellectual, base, emotional level corners, and the people that we're trying to reach, the opportunity for discussion is shut down. They're not willing to mm-hmm. have it. It's actually built into the fabric of their tactics and their talking points that they will not talk to you or allow you to talk to the point where, like, if you had that discussion on Facebook, but if you went down to a protest and tried to do that, you would literally get surrounded by people. It would look like a movie, a zombie apocalypse scene, and they would have noisemakers and shout and just act like three-year-olds, basically, to make it so that your voice can't be heard. So again, yep. Not only can we not vote our way out of this, we can't even discuss our way out of this. And that is really scary, because we know what happens when the political system breaks down and the discussion breaks down over extreme political ideologies. There's only one thing that happens after that, and that's what we all want to avoid. I don't know anyone in this country that wants a race war or feels like we need to have a race war. This country largely is disinterested in that.
Yep. Yeah, if you talk to people just every day on a regular basis, they don't want anything. I go to work every day. I work with black people. I work with Asian people. It's just when you go throughout your business every day, nobody thinks about that kind of stuff. And then it's like you said, you turn on the TV and you're just bombarded with it. And now even like I went to – my parents live in a fairly affluent suburb of Atlanta, and I went over there a couple weeks ago. And there were all these kids in the street in front of Trader Joe's shouting Black Lives Matter. All these little, like, skinny little white high school. I don't know why I have to say they're skinny, but just all these little high school kids, you know. And I'm just like, what are y'all doing? You know, and they really need to let people go back to work and go back to school, because there's a lot of people with too much time on their hands. And so when you see things like that, it's just kind of odd, because this never would have happened before. That's all I wanted to say. I just you guys really are like what keeps me sane, you and a small group of people that I know in real life. So thank you for all the work you're doing, and let's not give up yet.
Yeah, same here, Kelly. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Kelly. Yeah, a quick comment is that the COVID thing has enabled the street radicals. I think I alluded to this earlier, but it needs more emphasis now. The street radicals, and maybe this is part of the process, have eclipsed what was going to be and what was soon going to become very effective, real, rational, genuine protests against the COVID lockdown. They were growing every day in Michigan, in California, in New York, across the country, even overseas. And along came a spider, along comes COVID-19, and then George Floyd, and then the protests, and this string of events, a string of unfortunate events. It sounds like the name of a movie, right? I think it is, a series of unfortunate events. Along comes the series of unfortunate events, and next thing you know, the street radicals, the Marxists, the Maoists, the Bolsheviks have overwhelmed what was going to be principled and meaningful and effective anti-COVID-19 lockdown protests. They eclipsed that, they superseded it. And it's funny, isn't it, Hesh, how they're not told much, if anything, about, hey, you're out there burning and looting and you're gonna spread the virus, but if you and I go out and we enter the wrong restaurant without a mask on, well, you know, we're like the Riddler, you know, under the sights of Batman. Now we're just the lowest of the low. And so, yeah. They're not even being taken to task for the COVID thing. Whereas when protesters against COVID were going out, they were, you know, oh, if you're going to protest, you got to wear a mask and, you know, you're going to spread things around. And so it seems to me that this has been used and probably planned partly to eclipse and overwhelm what was going to be a great protest against the lockdown.
Yeah, I'll say this in the briefest way that I can so we can get to the other callers. And I'm probably preaching to the choir here, because I don't think anyone that I want to hear this message will have listened this far into the show. But if you're out there protesting for a change in this country and you are a progressive or a liberal or a Marxist or whatever, that's fine. You have every right to do that. And there are a lot of changes that need to be made in this country. But if you're supporting BLM, you're sending money to BLM or whatever, you are supporting the Fortune 100, the IMF, the World Bank, the UN, UNESCO, Bill Gates, both sides of our corrupted aisles in the politic realm. You're supporting all of that which you hate. You are being told, screw the system, buy the system. You have to realize that, yes, you have some good gripes, and yes, we need to make some changes here, especially with regards to policing, but you are being used as a soldier by that system which you claim to despise.
Yeah, and I think there's truth to that for the LGBTQ and trannies and the homosexual movement, although I don't like their I don't like their preaching in our schools and shoving it down kids' throats, but it's organized, and many everyday people that are homosexuals and trannies and whatnot, they're being used also by big money and corporate interests. But I think it's even more egregious in the way you're describing it, Hesh, that people, they think they're fighting the corporatocracy when the corporatocracy is the very thing that's sponsoring the events that they're taking place in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And when they have their way, when those folks have given these forces their way, when they've toppled everything that was important to us, that Fortune 100, that set of globalists, they're going to turn around and squash all those people too. You know, nobody wins in this situation. So you people better stand down real quick and start thinking about what kind of future you want to have.
Absolutely. Anyway, we do have a couple more callers. We're going to have to ask that the calls be kept brief in the interest of time. I only do a one-hour show, not a two-hour. Tom from Florida, taking them in the order received.
Yeah, gentlemen.
Tom, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Do you hear me? Yes, sir, gentlemen.
I just want to say this. We got to keep it a little brief, okay?
Yeah, look, Donald Trump should have come out right now in the major news media and tell everybody there was 25 whites killed by police officers and only 10 black. Floyd was no angel, and he had fentanyl on him. And I want to. We don't hear nothing about Chauvin, but I'll tell you what I'm really perplexed about. This is all about Obama and the rules for radicals. Could you imagine if this would have happened? If see, Obama had Trayvon, and he didn't have Ferguson, but he didn't have this kind of case. Obama has got rules for radicals. Obama's a lot behind a lot of this nonsense. Obama is a stir of hate. 8 years of Obama, it was unprecedented what he was trying to do. He was a Saul Alinsky, and he was this guy is a rules for radical Obama. And he's behind this BLM. Now, a lot of that money is being funneled into BLM, which still Bolshevik Lives Matter or Bolshevik Looting Matters or Black Looting Matters, whatever you want to call it. That's what this is about. Sotero Hussein Obama, who was born in Kenya, which was another farce. They lied about that. He got away with his Frank Marshall Davis. This thing has been going on for 100 years, what they're trying to do to a white Caucasian. And if the whites don't wake up to this, we are going to have a civil war, gentlemen. I hate to tell you that. They're going after Mount Rushmore. They're going after a lot of our monuments. It's ridiculous. Come on. Who's kidding who here? This is going to lead to something disastrous. And you know what? They are the minority. They're not the majority. They're your last caller. They're only 13% of the population, and the Jews are only 2%. Okay? And what you got to worry about, gentlemen, is the next thing that's going to come down the pike is going to be La Raza. Okay? So the white Anglos better arm themselves and be prepared for what's going to come down the pike. Because it's not going to be a good situation for what I'm looking at, okay? And they're taking statues down. That doesn't matter. But let me ask you this. When South Africa collapsed, the white government, the blacks are in the majority over there, correct? Now you need to start talking about what's going to happen here, what basically happened to South Africa when they took control. Mandela, okay? Let's look at the figures over there, the murder rates and all that in South Africa. That is your answer what's going to happen here if you don't watch it.
That does provide a very stern lesson. Yeah, the South African experience provides a very sobering lesson. Appreciate your call, Tom. We got to move forward in the interest of time, but your points are very well taken and provide a lot of grist for future shows. Lark in Texas, who has a show on RBN. Lark, you still there?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Lark.
I'll be brief. I'll try to be about a minute here. I want to share with you all a quote from Nikki Rapana. The co-author of 2020, Our Common Destiny, and the Definitive Anti-Communitarian Manifesto. And you can find this quote at facebook.com/ Nikki, N-I-K-I dot Rapana, R-A-A-P-A-N-A. One more time, lots of laughs. The new orders regulating people's lives under COVID are all communitarian laws. Anything balancing the rights of the individual against the community is communitarian. The system has a name. But as long as we don't use it, they can keep imposing it. Keep calling it fascism, technocracy, totalitarianism, etc., and nobody can actually do anything about it. Why do we think the word is still so obscure after two decades of new communitarian laws? Because once we know exactly what it's called, we can oppose it intelligently and forcefully without violence. Who can defend national law against a global ideology that has no accessible organized structure? This isn't just a war on ideals, it's a war on words. End quote.
Yeah, very, very salient, very, very, very descriptive of what's going on, especially for me. The war on words, the war on language has been an awful thing. The results have been just deplorable, causing a lot of this, what the first caller talked about, a lot of this people that just go off without even knowing what they're talking about because everything they've been told linguistically and otherwise has been so manipulated. Your thoughts, Hesh?
Yeah, it's really bad. You know, the globalese is getting really egregious. I believe it was Merriam-Webster, one of the main dictionary sites, just redefined racism recently so that it fits into a new world order sort of definition where they can do whatever they want with it. And I noticed the other night I was talking on a show about slavery and the history of it, and I tried to Google it, and I typed in slavery history, and I got almost 3 pages of stuff that was all referring to black people, and no mention of chattel slavery of the Europeans, whether by non-Europeans such as North Africans and the Muslim world, or by other Europeans like the naval galley slaves or the Viking thralls, the Ottoman Empire, Arab slave trades. This stuff has been going on forever. The Barbary slave trade. Slavery's been around forever. It's happening right now in Libya because of what we did to that country. And we're supposed to be over here talking about giving reparations to American citizens? This is absurd. Based on color, it's absurd.
Yeah, and we're talking about people who were never slaves that want reparations from people who were never slave owners.
May I say something, Mark?
Yes, but we only got about a minute, if not less. Go ahead.
I want to say unambiguously, piracy and slavery never left us. They're still here. And so long as we don't start using this word communitarian and communitarianism and communitarian law, we are going to be enslaved for all future generations. And it doesn't matter what color you are and what your political bend is. Unless you start using the word, you're going to keep the American people in the dark.
Okay, got to let you go there. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks, Hesh, for being on. Join me Monday, probably Monday, for Tom Rogers, a veterinarian and doctor, about the truth about COVID-19. Some great stuff. We'll see you next time.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.